Good morning. How's everybody? Would you guys stand and worship with us this morning?
Good morning, everyone. You can take a minute, greet everybody, and you can have a seat. I think the storm has everybody scared from church. It's not supposed to hit today. I think everybody got their time mixed up. And next week, guess what happens? The time changes. So you get an extra hour of sleep. Just, I'll give you guys a heads up now so you have plenty of time to get here. Hope you guys had a great week. We've had a great first service here this morning. As you can tell, either our normal praise team got a lot younger overnight, or we got a different... This is our youth group. This is several... These are all members here at Cornerstone of our youth group, and they're here playing. Our regular praise team is playing over in Hillsville this morning. One of the things about Cornerstone, and you've heard us talk about before, but we don't believe that we're here to compete with other churches. We're here to work with them and to help them when needed. So they're helping another church out over in Hillsville this morning, so be in prayer for them. We are in a series called The Gospel. And it's one of those series that kind of brings us back to the basics of the faith. It's one of those series that tells us stuff that, for the most part, we know, but we need a little encouragement to do. And this morning, we're going to be talking about sharing our faith. I'm excited about it. It's a message we all need to hear. I'm glad you guys have joined us this morning. When you came in, you got to worship God. Several announcements. I'm not going to read through all of them. Just know that youth is tonight. We're doing our photos for the directory. Who knows what the weather is going to do, but as of now, we're scheduled to do the downtown Halloween bash. They're actually closing off the street all the way to Calhoun Street this year, Main Street. So we'll be setting up almost in front of the church down here. So if you can help with that, help with the games. There are literally thousands of kids that come through for this. Typically, so it's just a great outreach to the community. The shoe boxes, we've got some more empty shoe boxes back at the resource table. When you get them packed up, you can bring them here and leave them here, and we'll get them delivered for Operation Christmas Child. So we've got a lot of, we're trying to do 300 boxes. We can do that. So we can get all that together. And then finally, we've got a Ribbons of Faith program. The information is in here about that. We're going to be joining up with the Hokies, with Virginia Tech, to do a faith-based research project on cancer prevention. And they actually came to us on this and asked if we'd be part of it. It's a great way to interact with the community here, too. So we're excited about that. You'll be hearing a little bit more about it November 11th after church. We'll actually have a meeting about it. So that's the announcements for today. Lots of things going on, as always. Again, I'm glad you're here this morning. No matter what the weather is like outside, when we're in here, we're here to worship God, to bring Him praise, and it's a good day to be here. It's a good day to be able to worship. It's a good day to be able to come and encourage each other in your walk with Christ. Would you guys pray with me real quick? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for Your love. And may we, as we go through this service this morning, may we just open up our hearts and let You speak into our lives. May we leave this place encouraged and excited and passionate about sharing the hope of the gospel with others. It's in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen. You guys can stand back up as we continue worship. They've got a few more songs for you guys. Thank you.
Redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I counted all as loss. Lead me to the cross, where your love poured out. Bring you so much for everyone who's here today, and I pray that you all speak to our hearts through Mike's message. And I just pray that you will rid us of ourselves so we can hear you. Amen.
The word gospel translates to news that brings joy. But this isn't just any news. A gospel is news that changes a life forever. After being invaded and enslaved by Persia, Greece won two decisive battles at Marathon and Solonus. The Greeks sent out heralds, also called evangelists, to proclaim the good news to the cities. We have fought for you. We have won. And now you're no longer slaves. You're free. The reality is that we are all slaves, slaves to sin and slaves to death. We are slaves in need of good news. Enter Jesus, God's Son, fully God, fully man, bringing news that would change our lives forever. His news was this: I am the divine, come to you to do what you could not do for yourself. I will take what you deserve so you can have what I deserve. You have no idea how much it will cost me, but you also cannot imagine the depths of my love for you. It is a gift that I give freely. So repent. Repent from all the ways you've run from me and follow me. Follow me because I am the only way to eternal life. Follow me because I'm the Savior you've been looking for. Follow me because I have authority over everything, yet I have humbled myself for you. Follow me because I died on a cross for you, because I'm your true love and your true life. This is my good news for you. This is my gospel, that you have been saved by grace and that you are slaves no more.
Love that video, because it really is what this series is about. The gospel message that we are free, that we are not slaves anymore, that God has set us free and given us a new life and a new mission. Isn't it great to be able to have our youth up here leading worship this morning? Didn't they do a great job? You know, it's neat as a church to see kind of group after group that are mentored and brought up. And we had our whole big group that went to college last year, and a lot of our worship leaders that are in college right now. And then now we've got this group that's just doing a great job. We've even got more with them that sing and help and play. And so it's just really neat to be able to see that they're the ones that are downstairs leading worship with our kids week in and week out. And we've got several groups rotating in doing that. And that's just great to see that God is using this church and using the younger people to continue to learn and grow and lead worship. That excites me and encourages me. If you have turned on the news in the last few days, I guarantee you have seen something about the storm, right? How many of y'all have been watching it, glued to your TVs? It's amazing how much of an expert we become from the Weather Channel. Just in times like these, you start learning all this new terminology, and you start looking, and we start looking at the barometric pressures and the high pressure systems and the low pressure systems and the storm systems. And I mean, we get all this stuff. And I mean, earlier this year, we all learned what a derecho was. I'd never heard of that before this year, but now we can talk about straight line winds. And I mean, and what happens? You watch TV, these weather people, they are passionate about that, aren't they? I mean, they get me tickled. They're like, oh man, this is the best storm that's ever been. I mean, they're just like excited that this huge storm is coming. And then they put their cameramen out standing on the beach, you know, like trying to stand up. You know, these guys, they get into it. They're passionate about it. And the thing I like best about the storm, I don't know if we'll get snow or not, and who knows, we'll wait and see. The thing I like best about it, it's got the media talking about something else other than the election for a few days. Amen? And so we can actually, I mean, you see these newscasters, these media, they are passionate about the weather. And the reality is, when we get excited about something, we can talk about it. And when you meet other people, even here this morning, I have a feeling if you hadn't seen somebody in a while, the first thing you said, hey, have you been watching TV? What do you think this storm's going to do? We're going to get snow. And when we're excited about something, when we're focused on something, it consumes us. We talk about it. We don't care who it is. We're not embarrassed what they're going to think about us. We share it. And when it comes to our Christian faith, how many of us are like that? How many of us are excited and passionate about God's story where we just talk about it? We can't help but share it. We can't help. Why are all of a sudden are we interested in learning all this technical stuff about the weather? People say, I just can't understand the Bible, but you can learn all about barometric pressure and how it affects weather systems. You know what I mean? You learn stuff when you're passionate about it. And so what we're doing in this series is we've been sharing this gospel story. I've been trying to get you excited, passionate about God's story and how you play a part in His story. And just to kind of back up, review last week a little bit, the Bible is one big story from Genesis to Revelation, from creation to the fall, to rescue, to the restoration. It's one big story, and the theme of this story is God's grace. Jesus' rescue of sinners and redemption of the world. And we all have a part to play in His story. There's four questions that come up, and I'll throw them on screen here. These questions that really define what we believe in our worldview. How did it all begin? What went wrong? Is there any hope? What will the future hold? These are questions that all of mankind struggle with. How did we get here? What went wrong? Because if you look around, we live in a messed up place. Is there any hope? What will the future hold? And only the gospel answers these questions. Only the gospel can serve as a launch pad, for us to understand why we are here in this world and why we have been left here in our mission and purpose in life. And so what I want to do this morning is kind of walk you through, we're just going to review the story of creation. That in the beginning, God created everything to be perfect. There was no sickness, disease, sadness. Everything lived in harmony. And when you stop and think about this beautiful creation, this beautiful world we live in, and think that the pinnacle of creation was when God created man and woman in His image. And that we are the highlight of all of creation. Then, we realize, too, that all of creation was made for one purpose. And that purpose is simply to bring honor, to glorify God, to point people back to God the Creator. That's why we're here. That's our purpose in life. And then we also look around, and it doesn't take long to realize that this world is a hurting world. The sickness, the disease, the pain, the suffering, the natural disasters. We turn on the news, see the evil. We realize that something went wrong. And what happens is the fall. That answers the question, what went wrong? Man rebelled against the loving God and believed Satan's lie. And sin entered into the world and into every human heart. Everything is now distorted and broken, and everyone is guilty before God. So we see that's what's wrong with this world we live in. It's distorted. It's broken. It's marred by sin. It's not the way that God intended it to be. It's not the way He created it. But because of sin, because of that freedom that Adam and Eve had, they chose sin and rebelled against God. And now sin has entered into the world. And everything is distorted and broken. We're distorted and broken. There's all these different disconnects in life now, spiritually, physically, socially, emotionally, morally, we live in a broken world. And we have to realize that, and we realize our part to play in that. Then we get to the next question, is there any hope? And the rescue answers that question. Jesus, who is God, He came to rescue people by His life, His death, and His resurrection, and by faith alone in Him. Anyone can have their sins forgiven and enjoy eternal life with Him. That's the rescue. That's the point. The pinnacle, the apex of the storyline is when Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross to take our punishment, our place on the cross. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." So what did Jesus accomplish? We talked about this last week. A few things here. He lived a sinless life. He perfectly fulfilled the law of God. He willingly suffered and died on the cross for our sin. He took our place. He took our punishment. And his death was a substitutionary atonement. That's a big word, but what it means is that his death, it fulfilled all the requirements of the law. It took God's wrath against sin. It took our shame, our punishment, everything. He took it upon himself. What was due to us, he took. He paid the debt that we couldn't pay. And then he rose from the dead on the third day and defeated death, and he returned to his Father 40 days later after appearing to a multitude of people. That's the gospel story. That's what Jesus did. And that's, again, the highlight of the story. But here's what we find. Most time, this, even though this is the highlight of the story, most of the time we stop right here when we share the gospel. We don't keep going. We don't keep talking about what is yet to come. So people think, okay, I've accepted the forgiveness of God, so I can just go back on my life, and I don't have anything, you know, there's really nothing left to do. And we leave off the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that God has set in motion a plan for us, a plan for this world, and our plan is to be part of His story. To help restore this world. To help bring light into a dark place. And he has left us here so we can be his ambassadors. His disciples. So we can go and make disciples. That brings us to this next thing. The restoration. Go back to that last one. The rescue. The rescue. This is what, when we are saved, and we talk about that, you're saved, redeemed, born again, all these terms, you know, justify, all these terms, this is what it means. And if you're here this morning, you're confused, maybe we need to kind of go through the basics here. You've got to admit your need for God, that there's a God-shaped hole in your life that only He can fill. You've got to ask Him to forgive you and help you turn from your sin. You've got to trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you. And you commit your life to Him. He's your Lord, your Master, your Ruler. And you're going to follow Him in faith from this day forward. That's the plan of salvation. That's what it means to embrace this idea of rescue. And that's what I hope that each and every one of you here today have done. I hope you've taken that step of faith in obedience to follow Jesus. Now, we get to this next part of the story, the restoration. And that's what I think we leave off so much. That everything will be restored to the way that was supposed to be. And those who trust in Jesus will get to enjoy eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. The story doesn't end at the cross. No, we get to live for all of eternity with the God who created us. And our job is to tell other people about that plan until He comes back to get us. Revelation 21:5 says, "Behold, I am making all things new." I've got a video here that I think will help us understand this whole concept of God making all things new and restoring the world to the way it was intended to be.
C.S. Lewis says that when Christ rose from the dead, death started working backwards. The scriptures tell us that at that point when Christ rose from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and hell's devil, he set into motion a series of events that cannot help but come true. The risen Christ is the first fruits of what God will do, not only for us, but all of His creation, to make everything new, to bring everything back to the way it was supposed to be, but even one better than it was in Eden. In Eden, Adam and Eve had the potential to sin, and they gave in to that desire to sin. But when Christ returns and brings heaven to earth, that ability to sin will be forever eliminated. Evil will be forever gone. So will sin's curse, forever removed from the earth, for Christ has borne the full curse of sin. By His resurrection, has triumphed over sin's curse. And so when He returns, He will usher in that glorious day, the start of a whole new eternity, when God's people will be with Him living forever in a world designed the way it was supposed to work, themselves in bodies designed the way they were supposed to work, in a time where it says God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Because He will forever eliminate any reason that we have to cry.
Doesn't that give you hope? I mean, doesn't that, when you hear that, that there's going to be, I mean, I look around this room, there are people who have suffered from the loss of loved ones, who have gone through cancer, who have seen just terrible tragedies in your life. And yet we know that one day God is going to wipe away every tear. There will be no sickness, no suffering, no pain, no heartache. And that we're going to be in relationship, living with Jesus. I mean, that's what we've got to look forward to. That's the hope of all eternity. We are here just for a little amount of time on this earth. And what we've got to do, we've got to use the time that we have to make the biggest impact on all eternity. And so when it comes to this restoration and we start sensing this desire in our life to make a difference, I like what C.S. Lewis says. He says, "If I discover within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." And what we see is that we were made for another world. We're ambassadors here. We're here on behalf of God to tell others about Him. That's our purpose in life. That's our mission in life. Again, last week I said it's not about us. It's about God. And it's about our part in His story. And what we find out is this grand story of God, it has an incredible ending. God will make all things new, and that He will take us to be with Him forever. I mean, forever. That's an amazing part of the story that we can't forget, that we can't leave off. That this world will be restored spiritually, physically, socially, emotionally, morally. All those ways that this world is distorted and broken, God will bring us back and fix the things to the way they're supposed to be. And we'll have peace with God. We'll live in harmony and intimacy with the God who created us. Just think about it. We get to live with God. Just being with God should be enough for us to motivate us to tell others about Him. And we'll get to see Jesus face to face. And what, you know, what we see is that only in the midst of this grand story of God do our lives really make sense. If not, then we're just here for a moment. We can do whatever we want. It's all about us. If it feels good, do it. Just follow the culture. It doesn't really matter because we just live and we die and that's it. If that's what you believe, then we have no bigger purpose in life. But when we frame our lives in context of God's story of creation, fall, rescue, and restoration, we see our purpose in life. We see why we're here. We see that God has something grand in plan for us. And it's only in light of that that our lives really make sense. What I want to do this morning is talk a little bit about how to share our story in light of God's story. At the very beginning, when Jesus called the disciples to follow Him, He said, "Come and follow Me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men." We all have heard that statement. We kind of get that's what He wanted His disciples to do. Your job is to go fishing and catch, so to speak, other people to bring them to us. He said, your job is to go out and be fishers of men. His last command to the disciples was what? To go and make disciples of all nations. Both commands are going out. So why is it so easy for church to be all about what happens inside the four walls? I heard there's an author that wrote, he said, instead of being fishers of men, we become keepers of the aquarium. Where it's about life inside the fishbowl. It's about what happens inside the church, inside the four walls. And that is why over half of churches today do not have a single baptism in a year's time. Or a single convert, or a single profession of faith. We see that the churches, it's so easy for activities, for everything just to become about us. And it doesn't just happen to other churches. It's something we have to constantly be on guard and struggle with, even here ourselves. Let me give you an example. Last week we had our family fun night at the gym. It was awesome. It really was. I had a great time. I had trouble walking the next day. I was like, you know, from playing basketball out there trying to show off with the kids, I was in some serious pain afterwards. But we had like several hundred people there at the gym. I mean, swimming pool. I mean, we do something like that, man, people come out of the woodwork. I mean, there's like people from everywhere. I mean, and it's great, and we have so much fun. But then when we plan a community outreach event and say we need help to do something, it's a little bit different story. It's amazing. We have to start getting on the phone, and we have to start like begging people. You know, we'll give you food if you'll come. Or we'll do, you know, we start have to, I mean, it becomes a serious, I mean, it's a challenge to get people to do. When it's about fun, I mean, people come from everywhere. When it's about serving, it's a different story. And I'll even tell you, not as a guilt trip or anything, but we had to cancel our Nicaragua trip for November because we just didn't have enough people sign up to go. We want to go back in the spring. We're going to try to reschedule it. We had so many people say, oh, I want to go, but, well, this time just doesn't work right this time, and maybe next time. And the reality is, I mean, it takes a certain number of people to make that trip happen. So that's an important mission, right? To tell others about Jesus, to serve the least of these, to do the work of the gospel, not just here but around the world. But it's hard to get people to make the sacrifice when it's about going outside the four walls. When it's about us, it's easy. And that's the challenge that we face. It's a challenge that every church faces. Is, you know, I've read too that 85% of all activities in churches around the world, you know, around this country, are geared towards the people inside the four walls. I want to change that. I want to change that because we exist for the benefit of this community we live in. We exist to share the gospel with this community we live in. Honestly, there shouldn't be a person within sight or within walking distance of this church that hasn't heard the gospel. And if they haven't, then it's because we have failed in our mission to tell other peoples about the good news of Jesus Christ. So what I say that is, it's so easy to lose our focus and think, well, and to start making excuses. We're not ready. We don't know enough. I don't feel comfortable. And in fact, I showed a video to our youth group a few months ago about this very thing. So I thought I'd just show it to you guys as well. It's pretty good. The firefighters will like this.
Okay, this is it. We're going out. First call. Time to be a hero. Brennan, come on. Let's go. Get this. Get this.
Rick.
Yeah.
Hold on there, Rook. We're not going out on this one.
Why not?
We're not ready.
We're not.
You just go back to bed. I'll let you know. All right? Go on. Hey, rookie. Get back to work. We're training.
No. The alarm.
We're just training.
Go. Go.
We're training. Do it. Go. No. Not until this place is spotless. Let's go. Come on.
Hey, rookie. No. Keep working out. We're not strong enough yet.
No. Not yet. It's not a good time. Not a good time.
Hey, come on, the fajitas will burn. Calm down.
I just got comfortable.
Somebody shut that thing off! It's the best part.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No, it's not safe.
I'm not feeling it.
Not safe? Seriously? We're firefighters.
Slow down there, overachiever.
You don't even know if people out there like firefighters.
I'm not feeling called.
Not feeling it. People are dying out there.
People die every day, rookie.
Don't you think something's wrong here? I mean, isn't it strange that we're a fire station? We don't even put out fires? Nope.
We're not getting this one. There's other stations.
Come on, it's right next door.
Hey, if they want our help, they come and ask us. Well, we go over there acting like we're the big shots. We got all the answers. But, hey, they may not even want our help.
Help me!
Hey, they could be talking to anyone.
You firefighters! I gotta catch this call here.
Oh, the sad thing is, I don't have to connect the dots here, do I? I think you guys are perfectly capable of doing that yourself. The sad thing is, that's a pretty accurate description of a whole lot of churches right now. The world is going up in flames around them, and they're like, that's somebody else's responsibility. Somebody else will do it. It's your responsibility. Each person, you individually, it's your responsibility to go out into the world that you live in. The circle of influence of your friends, family, business workers, everybody, your students, everybody around you. And it's your responsibility to be God's light into that world that God has sent you into. It's not my responsibility. It's not this church. We have to take the role individually of stepping into what God has called us to do. We can't lose sight of the fact that lost people matter to God. Luke 15 is a perfect example. Three parables in Luke 15. You read it this week. Spend time studying. Three parables. The parable of the lost sheep. The parable of the lost coin. The parable of the lost son. The lost sheep shows that God is concerned with what is lost. And it shows how you drop everything and go after and look for the one thing that is lost. The money shows an even greater importance. And then finally, when we get to the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, we see how very important that lost people are to God. Lost people matter. Lost people are important, and it's our job to share with them the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. There's a quote here that says that we should know the story that we profess to be participating in. We should know it well, and we should tell it with enthusiasm. We should tell it like other stories that excite and compel us. When you first learn to tell the story, you just get the shape right, and then you start filling in the details. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be fully prepared and trained and ready. You have to be obedient. God calls us to obedience, not to get everything just perfectly right. Because we have to, in faith, let Him use us to reach this world we live in. It's the story we share. You know, it's a story that God is telling, but yet we are participants in. And so we have to learn to be a good storyteller. I need your help here. Y'all look like you're going to sleep. What makes somebody a good storyteller? What do they do that makes them a good storyteller? Shout it out. They're passionate. They're excited. Move around. I mean, they get your attention. They know the story. They don't say, oh, wait a minute, what was the punchline again? Right? I mean, somebody that's a good storyteller, they're engaged. They believe in it. They believe the story they're telling. And so they get into it. They're passionate about it. They're excited about it. It just grabs you can't help but be drawn to the story they're telling because they know what they're talking about and they believe it. So let me ask you, when's the last time you shared your faith like that? You said, but Mike, wait a minute. That's just not me. That's not my personality. Look, God has such a sense of humor. He's got me up here. I'm probably the most introverted person in the room, and He has me up in here teaching and talking with you guys. It doesn't matter if you're an introvert. It doesn't matter if you're an extrovert. God can use you where you are if you are passionate about following after Him. He will give you the words to say even. I've had that happen so many times where I'm like, oh, in my mind, sometimes I'm sitting there talking with people and I'm just thinking and God just says, this is what you need to tell them. I'm like, okay, I don't know why, but here it goes. And it's just amazing to see God work and move that out and move through that story. There's just such power in telling the story of God. We've got one more video this morning, and it's about telling God's story here.
You know, you don't even have to read a Bible. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to have ever attended a church to understand there's something amazing about this world. Just walk outside. Just notice at the beach every day the tides faithfully come in and they go out. Notice how the seasons change. Notice how there's harmony. Notice how everything in the solar system just kind of fits and is all put together. Notice how there's this harmony in nature and how there's this sense that if plants didn't produce oxygen, we would die. And if we didn't produce carbon dioxide, they would die. And you see the way animals relate. And there's this, we talk about the way that certain animals eat other animals and certain animals eat plants and they're scavengers and they all fit together. You know, the circle of life, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I always like to sing that. But anyway, you know, there's just this beautiful, amazing creation. And everything does what it was intended to do. And it does it really well. That's because the Bible says in Genesis 1 and John 1 and other places that God made this amazing, wonderful world. And it was beautiful. And in the middle of all that creation, he made man. And we're not like other animals. Oh, we're similar, but we're not the same. For example, you've seen owls build a nest, perhaps. No owl has built a three-story condo with a swimming pool. Never has. Chimpanzee has never thought about designing a building, okay, or a network on the internet. There's something different about us rationally. There's something different about us spiritually. You know, animals, your pet dog has never thought about the problem of evil. Why do we even think about that? Because there's something in this world that's different about us. And the Bible says it's because we were made in the image of God. God made us to know him, to worship him. Now, your dog may be devoted to you, but he doesn't worship you. You see this sense of worship. And so all of us think about how it began, and you look around, you see this amazing creation. But we also all know that something went badly wrong. You don't even have to read the Bible to know that something in this world has been broken. And Haiti has earthquakes, and tsunamis kill hundreds of thousands, and my dad has cancer, and my wife lost her brother to leukemia, and her parents divorced when she was young, and you and I think things we shouldn't think and do things we shouldn't do, and you've never taught a child ever how to disobey. You don't have to teach them to disobey. It's in our nature. What does a child say when they're born? Dad, when they're little. Mama, mine. They don't ever say share early on. We have to teach that. Why? Because there's something in our nature that has been tainted. The Bible says when Adam and Eve sinned, God gave them the freedom to rebel, and they rebelled. And the whole creation, Romans 8 says, is groaning for redemption. There's a brokenness in this world, and sin has broken us in terms of our relationship with God. And we want to know God. There is a God-shaped vacuum in us, but we cannot know him because of the brokenness caused by sin. And you know this, even if you don't even think about it in biblical terms. You know there's something wonderful about this world, but there's something that's been broken. You see, this is why the Bible said there had to be a rescuer, a redeemer, a savior. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. But he didn't come simply to live a sinless life, although that was very important. He didn't come to set an example. He didn't come just to teach or even to heal. He came to die as our substitute. He took our place. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And he rose again gloriously from the dead, defeating death. The Bible, it's so amazing. The Bible uses many terms to describe it. Redemption, we were enslaved to sin. We've been set free. Reconciliation, we owed a debt we couldn't pay. He has paid that debt for us. Justification, we were guilty before a holy God. And because of the cross, we can be set free. Adoption, we were orphans alienated from God. And yet we can be adopted. And there's so many others. A new birth, salvation, so many incredible terms. Atonement. There's this amazing rescue that's been offered. And because of that, there's the promise of restoration. All of us want to know how life's going to end. All of us at some time or another think about the ultimate reality of what happens after I die. And the Bible says at the end of the story, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it is going to be so beyond anything we could ever imagine. Maybe you've seen those scenes from the Middle Ages where you see like little fat babies in diapers with angels' wings playing harps sitting on a cloud. That is not heaven, okay? Heaven is a new Jerusalem, a new city. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered in the minds of man, the Bible says, the things he's prepared for those who love him. I want you to think about the reality of this story. God has written this incredible story, but it's not a story like Little Red Riding Hood. It's just a fable. It is true. And God created you and me with that story in mind and to worship him and to know him. And through Christ, we can let him write our story.
He's a good storyteller, isn't he? He's passionate about what he's talking about. He believes it. And see, the reality is each one of us, we can be a good storyteller too. Why? Because one, we have a story to tell. We have a classic before and after story. What was our life like before we knew Christ and what is it now? That's a story that no one else can argue with because it's our story. And if you've come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have a compelling story to tell other people. And you may have not even thought about it. You may not have spent much time thinking about it. But we can get an example from the guy in Luke chapter 5. He once, the Bible says that it's a story of a guy who had leprosy. It says that one day in one of the villages, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down before him in prayer and said, "If you want to, you can cleanse me." And if you keep reading the story, you see that Jesus put out his hand and touched him and basically said, "I want to." And he reached out and healed the man completely. And what you can, if you just imagine with me for a moment, what that man's life must have been like. He once was sick and now he is better. And he said, "You know, I met Christ and now I'm healed." Can you imagine just him going around and telling other people about, you know, "All my hopelessness is gone now. I've been healed. I finally feel whole again. I was sick, but now I'm well. I was diseased, but now I'm healthy. I was outcast, but now I'm accepted. I was defiled, but now I'm good as new. I was tarnished, but now I'm clean. I was left for dead, but now I have a future." And that's the same story that each one of you have if you're in Christ this morning. That you have a future now. That you have hope because God has rescued you through the Jesus Christ, His death on the cross. He has rescued you. He has paid the penalty that you couldn't pay, and He has given you a new life. And if that doesn't excite you, if that doesn't compel you to tell other people about it, you need to spend some time looking at what He has done for you. Looking at the before and the after. And you say, "Well, I got saved when I was really young." Well, think of all the stuff that He saved you from. You know, some of you, you've got stories in here. You've got stories that will make a sailor blush. That stuff that you've done in your life, stuff that you've gotten into. And God has saved you out of that. He's pulled you out of that. And thank God for that, that he can change our hearts. But for some of you, He saved you from those things. You've looked around at your friends and you see the mistakes that they've fallen into and the pain and the suffering. I just know that you all have a story to tell. And if we're going to tell our story, we can kind of go about it two different ways. And I want to help you understand there's a difference here between a gospel presentation and a gospel conversation. Last Sunday, I went home after church. I'm not kidding. My phone rang at least 10 times in a period of about 2 hours. Not one real person in that 2 hours. Every time I picked up the phone, what was it? It was a recording. "Do you have a few minutes for, and every single time it was a political phone call, a robocall, whatever you call it, a recording. I mean, just call after call. Do you think I picked up the phone and said, "Oh, great. Guess what, Jennifer? A robot wants to talk to me." No. What did I do? I picked up the phone. I said, "Oh, my gosh, you're calling on a Sunday. Slam." I mean, because it's impersonal. Right? They don't really care about me. They're not wanting to talk with me. They're just wanting to push their agenda on me. And the thing is, so many times that's how we share the gospel. We get up in front of somebody and say, do you have a few minutes? I want to share with you. Let me get up my list. And okay, do you know that you are going to hell one day if you don't accept Jesus Christ? You know, and we just keep reading down the list. And we just like, bam, 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 and we get done. "Would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes or no?" You know, and we just go through it. That's a gospel presentation. And yes, it can work in some situations. In the past, it's been pretty effective with people who have a biblical worldview. But in our world today, a gospel presentation is detached. It's impersonal. And for people who don't really have an understanding of the Bible, it's not going to be effective. What they need is a gospel conversation where we listen and share our story and we share our struggles. It requires a level of vulnerability where we allow others to see our stories in light of the story of the Bible. It's ongoing. It's personal. It means we listen. It means we ask questions. And we see Jesus doing this very thing in the Bible. John chapter 4 is a great example. The story of the woman at the well. First of all, Jesus approaches a woman who's an outcast, who is a downright sinner. She's been married 5 times. She's living with a guy she's not married to. And he approaches her at the well and starts asking some questions. He starts engaging her in a conversation. Not a presentation, a conversation. And he finds out, he says, you're drawing this water. And he picked her interest. He said, what about, I could give you the living water that you never get thirsty again. And she's interested. So they start having a conversation. He starts revealing who he is to her. He reveals, this is who I am. The scriptures speak of this. This is I am. And he's sharing who he is to her. She starts getting kind of confused, and she wants to take the story over here and start talking about where we worship, whether it's on the mountaintop or in the temple. He pulls her back to the what's important, and we see her leave excited. We see her leaving everything at the well, going running back into town to tell everybody. And the end result in verse 39, we see this. It says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with him, and he stayed with him 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard it ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And what gives me so much hope when I see that story is it's not about what she shared. She just ran and said, guys, you've got to meet Jesus. Here's this Jesus I just met. You need to know him. And they came and they started researching and they started hearing from God, just like people can hear from the Bible today. They started hearing from God in the flesh. And they said, it's not because of what you said. It's because we've met Jesus. Jesus is the one that saved. Jesus is the one that changed the hearts. Jesus is the one that made all the difference in the world. Her job was to be obedient and to tell them about Jesus. That's our responsibility, to tell people about Jesus. That's the power of a gospel conversation. If we look and we think about, I think it's one of the reasons we don't share so many times with other people is we don't see God's image in them. We look at them as dirty, broken, sinners, people we don't want to hang around with, people we don't want to share with, people that are beneath us. We would never really say that, but by our actions, that's what we show. And so what we have to realize is that every person has been made in the image of God, but that image is marred and broken. And what we have to do is we have to see that. We have to understand the problem for non-believers is not that they lack character or they don't have morals. The problem is that they don't know Jesus. And they're not going to know Jesus if we don't share him with them. Does that make sense? Instead of looking at somebody and the church is famous for this, we'll look at people and say, I can't believe they're acting like that. They need Jesus. Why don't you tell them? That's what compels us, our love for them. We don't want you to stay where you are. We want to help you. We care enough about you for all of eternity that we're going to share the story of Christ with you. When we start talking about our circle of influence here, I'll skip ahead a little bit here. There's really kind of 3 groups of people that we kind of come into contact with on a regular basis. People like our family, people who we're related to biologically or through marriage. We're related to people, we've got friendship, the people who we are close friends with. We've got associates, those people who we just have a connection with. And what I want to challenge you to do this week is identify, go through those lists, those 3 things, your family, your friends, your associates, people you interact with. List 8 to 15 people who don't know Christ or who you're not sure about. And I want you to actively pray and actively share God's story with them. And this is just a matter of being intentional about it. Instead of talking, instead of being like the fire department saying, we're going to train, but we're not ready. This isn't saying, we're ready, we're going to do it, we're going to be intentional about it, and we're going to become engaged in their life and start having these conversations with them. Several years ago, we did a series called Just Walk Across the Room. It's based on a book by Bill Hybels. It's probably been about 4 years ago now we did this. He came up with he called it Living in 3D. This is his method for how we share God's story with other people. And it's simply 3 things here. We develop friendships. The first thing is we get involved with them enough to care about their story. We listen. We start developing friendships with people. Then we discover their stories. You know, we start asking questions. We listen. We interact. We start understanding their story, their background. And then we start discerning next steps. This is where we're just praying, God, give me the next step to take. I don't know what to do. I need your help. I need your wisdom. I do this all the time when I'm talking with people. I'll just start praying and say, okay, God, there's this crazy person I'm talking to. I don't know what to do. Tell me what I need. And so, you know, and now y'all are wondering who that was. You know, there, you talk to people and you're just constantly saying, okay, I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what to do. I need your help, God. Would you just open up your will, reveal it to me? Help me know the next step to take. And God, what scripture can I share with them? What part of my story can I share with them? What part of your story can I share? And this is the gospel conversation. It's not a you do A, then B, then C. No, it's just you listen, you pray, you seek God's understanding, and you constantly connect God's story with their story using your story. Say that three times fast. It's amazing what happens when we do that, when we really start caring enough about people to engage them in conversations. In your worship guide, I listed five questions from another book called Share Jesus Without Fear. These are kind of questions that help us when we're stuck. We don't know what to ask. We don't know what to do. We kind of don't know how to take the conversation from the normal everyday conversation and turn it to the spiritual dimension. These are some of those questions that can help you do that. Do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? Notice it doesn't say do you believe in God or do you believe in Jesus? Do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? It's amazing the kind of responses you'll get on this question. To you, who is Jesus Christ? Let's lay it out. Who is Jesus? Is he just another teacher? Is he just another person in history? Who is Jesus Christ to you? What about heaven and hell? Do you believe that there's an actual eternal destiny for everyone? What are your beliefs about life after death? If you died, do you think you'd go to heaven? Why? You know, why? These are questions finding out their story. These are questions where we're just kind of digging a little deeper. If what you're believing in is not true, what you want to know? You're just asking, can I get permission here to share, to go a little bit deeper? And you know, if they close the door and if they shut off the conversation, then you kind of back up a step and say, well, what's causing that barrier? But you just, you know, you're obedient. You just do what God's called you to do, to talk about Jesus, to tell people about Jesus. We're trying to turn the rudder on this conversation and get it back about Jesus. And when we're passionate about something, when we're excited about it, it's easy to talk about. It's easy to see God's story in everyday life. It's easy to be able to say, you know, that reminds me of something I read in the Bible, or, you know, I was reading a devotion this morning and it said this, or you wouldn't believe what happened to me when I was growing up. Let me tell you about it. You have a few minutes? And just being able to share and talk about God. That's what living life as a believer, to go and make be fishers of men, that's following his example. It's sharing the greatest story ever written. Now, this week, I mentioned earlier, next week the time changes, right? So you got an extra hour to get ready. It's typically one of the highest attended Sundays in churches around the country. Because everybody shows up thinking they're, you know, 15 minutes late and they're 45 minutes early. It's great. See people walk in, they're like, I'm here early. You know, looking at them, it's great seeing it. Here's what I want you to do. I've got some invite cards back at the door. I want you to take as many of those as you want to. I want you to spend this week just invite people to church, sharing God's story, looking for divine opportunities to tell people about Jesus. It's a simple act just to invite. Next week we're going to be talking about, we're going to be wrapping up this whole series on the gospel, talking about breaking free. Okay. It's going to be a great week for you to invite friends. This gospel story, the break free. Over 80% of people said they would come to church if somebody would just invite them. That study after study proves that. That people are just waiting for somebody to ask them to come to church. So I want to challenge you to do that. Challenge you. We've got tracks back there with this story, this thing right here, just some of this, some of the things that I've shared. We've got those. If you want to take them, just if you're not real comfortable understanding, just to read through it and help understanding this, you can get this app on your iPhone or Android. I mean, you can. There's all sorts of ways you've got now to help share God's story. But I just want you to start being intentional about who you're going to invite to church, who you're going to share your faith with, who you're going to reach out to. I want to leave you with this statistic. It said 75 to 90% of new believers come to Christ through a friend or acquaintance who explains to them the good news on a one-to-one basis. Only 17% of all conversions come through what's called an event, a pastor giving his message, a crusade or something like that. Over 75% of people come to faith in Christ through somebody sharing with them one-on-one. Are you going to be the person? Are you going to be the fisher of men? Are you going to be obedient to what God has called you to do? That's your question this morning. We've looked at several of these scriptures. There's several on here as we've gone through this series about God's story. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Romans 3:10 says, "No one is righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:19 says, "The law applies to those whom it was given, for its purpose was to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God." 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit." Galatians 1:4 says, "Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live." And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one can boast." And John 6:47 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." That's the gospel story as we look through Scripture. And you need to know the Scripture. Allow God's Word to speak through you. There's so many Bible verses that we could use. Those are just a few. You've got the Romans Road. You've got Titus 3. You've got all these different Scriptures that come together and help us explain God's plan, His plan of redemption for the world. And I just want to tell you, we measure our success by our level of obedience, not by what happens after we share. We're just called to be obedient and share the message. This morning, I just want to tell you that the greatest gift that you can give to someone else is to share the story of Jesus Christ with them. It's the greatest gift you could ever give anyone. Would you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, would you just give us the courage to quit making excuses, to quit walking away from the opportunities you give us to share your glorious plan with others. Lord, don't let us make excuses that we're not good enough, or we're not prepared, or we don't know what to say, or we're worried about what others are going to think. But give us the confidence and boldness to share your message with others. Lord, we this morning, we just thank you for your story that is revealed to us through the words of the Bible. Through God's Word, it's literally your Word to us, your love letter to us, explaining your plan for all of creation, for this world we live in. Help us to understand, to see the gospel in everything, from Genesis to Revelation, that you care so much about us, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to provide us a way of rescue, to provide us hope. Lord, I pray for the people in this room this morning. First, that you would help them to leave here looking for those divine appointments to share your story with others. Lord, I pray for also those in this room who, as we've talked about this, they've examined their own lives and say, "I don't think I've ever really given my life to Christ." And if they're here this morning, I pray that this morning would be a new beginning, a new start, the turning point of their entire life. The most important choice, the most important decision we'll ever make, Lord, is to put you first in our life. It happens when we admit that we have a need for you. When we confess our sins and acknowledge that we have fallen short. When we acknowledge the fact that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, to set us free. And we commit our lives to living in the midst of your story. If you've not done that this morning, would you just pray with me this morning? You just pray, dear Heavenly Father, this morning I just want to acknowledge my need for you. There's this longing inside of me that's telling me that I've got to take this next step. I acknowledge my own sinfulness, how I've fallen short of your standard so many times, how I've rebelled and disobeyed you. But I'm thankful, Lord, that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. And right now, I just want to just ask Jesus to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Through faith, through trust, through belief, Lord, I want to commit my life to you this morning. And I want to thank you for saving me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that's your prayer this morning, I want you to know that Jesus heard it. He answers prayers. He says, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's God's promise to you. So as we close, I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me right now. Whatever it is that God's spoken to your heart this morning, whether it's just to be more bold in your faith, to be more bold as you go out and share, maybe he's put somebody specifically on your mind and heart that you need to go and reach out to this week. Whatever it is, will you be obedient? You've got response card and seat back in front of you. You can fill those out if you've got prayer requests. I'll be up at the cross. But let's just close with just a time of worship. I'll be praying for you guys this week. You guys pray for me. Let's go and tell as many people as we can about Jesus. Is that a deal? Let's see this place packed out next week, both services. And let's see what God will do. I'm excited about it. So anyway, see you guys next week. Go in peace.